Welcome to the How Writers Write podcast, a show focused on inspiring and empowering you to become a better writer. Come along as we deconstruct the tips, routines, and motivations of your favorite authors. In the end, it's all about getting your story onto the page. Welcome to the How Writers Write podcast. I am your host, Brian, and today's special guest is Taylor Moore. Taylor is a former CIA intelligence officer. He received a degree in journalism from Texas A&M University, followed by a master's in public policy from Pepperdine University, where he studied international relations and economics. After traveling extensively in Latin America and completing a graduate level internship at the U.S. mission to the European Union, Taylor went to work for the CIA. Taylor's debut novel, Downrange, will be published on August 3rd, 2021. We're going to dive into all of that good stuff. He now resides in the Texas Panhandle with his wife and two children, where he is a full-time author, screenwriter, and speaker. Taylor, welcome.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me on. Honored to be here.
Yeah, I saw your bio come through, and it was like, former CIA intelligence officer, now writing novels. Do you want to interview? And I was like, yeah, I want to talk to this guy. This sounds awesome. Of course I do. I went to your website. You have all these awesome pictures. I was like, I definitely want to talk to this dude. This sounds like a really fun. So let's dive into it. I try really hard, really, really, really hard to not ask cliche questions. But I know our whole listenership, everyone listening, is just going to kind of want to be like, okay, CIA intelligence officer, what does that even mean? Are you a spy? Are you not a spy? Like I know there's so much you can't share, but like if you just had to give like a 10-second overview of what it means to be a CIA intelligence officer so people can just kind of frame up who you are, what would that be?
That's a great question, Brian, because it actually is an intelligence officer covers a lot of ground. And Honestly, and I covered a little bit of that ground while I was there because you know, I started out as an analyst in the Directorate of Intelligence at the CIA, and then I moved into the Directorate of Operations, which was more of what you think of when you think of a spy. It's more, I guess that's what it falls into, but there's a lot of different definitions of that to include, you know, some people even think of what they, you know, the special activities division guys, which are the, you know, the paramilitary that a lot of people see. I didn't do that. I knew those guys, worked with some of them, and kind of misconceptions, but yeah, so I was an analyst. So I did a lot of, you know, when I started, I did a lot of what you'd call, you know, just the, what you think of like the, since we're talking about books here, if you want to think about Jack Ryan as an analyst and subject matter expert who writes reports, who gives briefings, who goes to, policymakers, the war fighter, whoever that might be. And you're the expert on this subject. And then on the operations side, that's what you'd think more of the spy stuff. So that's, you know, going out, meeting with foreign assets, doing research on foreign assets, finding the right people that have access to information that we need, and everything that entails.
Yeah, I have a 9-year-old. I told her, I was like, hey, I'm going to interview someone who literally works for the CIA because she is, you know, she's in the spy thing, you know. Yeah. And her eyes got really big. She's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you can see him. You like, and I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Anyways, she'll be very excited to listen to this, to this interview with you. So one of the things I'm always interested in is the way in which writers and storytellers and creators come into being and how they pull life experiences. And I've interviewed people who are novelists, I'm sorry, lawyers and all sorts of like chefs and cooks, all sorts of different backgrounds that find their way into storytelling. And they take what's special about their own story, their own background, and they apply it to this thing that we all love so much, which is to write books. And so I'm curious, as you look back, I mean, you know, being somebody who actually, you know, was in the CIA, how do you think that influenced your storytelling? Like, what skills did you learn that you've applied to being a storyteller? Like, what's the bleed over there?
So I think one of the things I really want to do, now obviously the genre, you know, a lot of people cover it, but not everybody that covers it that's writing has been in it and seen what it's like from the inside. So what I really wanted to do, and let me be clear, most of the people that are doing it are doing a great job, but I wanted to take it to that next level and really sort of get the the feel of what it's like to be there and the personalities of what it's like to be there. Because some of that can come off as a bit cliche, although some of it's very, even the things that are cliche are sometimes very realistic. There's the evil, you know, dark, sinister, you know, guy that's at the National Security Council or whatever it is. But no, that was something that I really wanted to bring, the authenticity of it. And have the dialogue really right, and what things look like really right, and the way people think. I wanted to get that really correct. And so I feel like I've done a pretty good job of getting that. People that have read it have said, like, you nailed it, you know, and that makes you feel good as a writer.
Yeah.
So that's what I really wanted to bring. And the things that I didn't have perfect, like, I wasn't former military. I worked with the military. But when it comes to the special operations guys, I have a lot of friends that do that. So, you know, I'd be like, is this how somebody would say this? Would this be your response? And they'll like maybe tweak it a little bit.
Right.
So I've been getting some good friends, you know, several friends that are SEALs or former SEALs. And so, you know, it's kind of nice. I'll hit them up on text and be like, I'm trying to say this, and be like, I'd say it this way, you know?
Yeah.
So because of my background, it's kind of lent itself to other things, the subject matter experts.
Yeah. So let's dive in though. Let's go even further. And, you know, when I talk to lawyers or journalists or whatever, they bring their background of how they were trained to be a journalist. And, you know, most journalists I interview, they're like, I just write. It's not emotional. I don't get writer's block because I was trained to just sit down as a journalist and I had a deadline in 16 minutes and I just wrote the story. And so I'm wondering, do you feel like there are certain skills you learned from your training becoming an analyst that you have brought to the novel writing space that kind of, I don't want to say is your superpower, but certainly is what you rely on or lean on to get the work done?
Yeah. I don't know specifically if it's like, you know, meeting deadlines. I feel like I have like the same work ethic as an author as I did when I worked at the CIA or when I did contract work with the military, or when I worked in oil and gas, whatever I did, it's something, it's kind of like the chicken or the egg thing. I think the agency typically hires type A's anyway. And so I don't know if I was necessarily trained to do that. I was probably like that beforehand. And that's probably what, you know, brought me to that point. But then they take you and they make you better. And yeah, I mean, you know, if you go through training or whatever it is, it's just get it done. It's the bottom line is just get it done. And so there's a lot of that.
Yeah,
comes into play. A funny side story I will tell you, because I write a lot at a coffee house here, and it's always noisy and there's music and, you know, craziness going on, people coming up, and so people ask, like, how do you, I need total silence. I said, it's funny you say that, because I used to be that way. And when I started working with the military, I remember my first day on the job, I worked in a room of about 70 different soldiers, you know, 70 soldiers all in one single room. And you can imagine the noise and the mayhem and all this stuff that's going on. And I remember thinking, like, I'm going to have to quit this job. I can't write like this. I can't focus. And it took a day or two. And eventually a fist fight could break out and I'd just be sitting there writing my stuff and I wouldn't even pay attention. And now I'm to the point where it actually energizes me. So I know it's not exactly what you asked,
yeah.
It's sort of an interesting sort of side note of how that world changed me and allowed me to change the way I do things in the process.
Yeah. I think there's always this common thread. And it's certainly part of the undercurrent of the show, which is it's so important to find the way you create as an individual. You know, there's not one template. There's not one way. The way Brian writes or the way Taylor writes it's all totally different, you know, and there's lots of guests I've had that have to be like, if there's a single sound, I can't, I have to have silence. And then there's other people like you, you know, I've had someone who wrote in a Hardee's every morning at 6 a.m. Like that was their place to write and all sorts, you know, so there's this wide diversity. And so it's interesting now that you come back and you're like, oh, I need the noise. I need because that's kind of where I learned it. So while you were working for the CIA and while you were, you know, kind of, you know, doing other, you know, other things. Did you always have in the back of your head, I want to write books? Always? Did you already always know you wanted to be a novelist?
I don't know if I wanted to be a novelist, but I always, I wrote my first book in, I think, the year 2000. And that's when I was working as a cattle rancher. This was before I even joined the agency. And And I just want to see if I could do it. I always liked the idea of writing a book. So I just got, you know, got my laptop, sat down, and over the course of months wrote a book and went like, yep, I did that. That's neat. and then there were times, you know, that at the agency where I'd start something, but honestly, you're always so exhausted when you get out of that job, like you write so much and like, it just wasn't fun. So it wasn't until later, but no, I guess yes and no. I guess the answer is yes and no. I didn't know always I wanted to do this for a living, but yeah, I always thought it would be pretty cool to do something like this. And so it just worked out, you know?
Okay. So while you were, you know, at the agency, you weren't like being like, I'm going to save this detail. This would make for a really cool character or anything. Like if you had to just kind of go back and like use your memory to like kind of pull that out.
Exactly. It's just based on memory. And like I said, you know, we always talk about, cause people always say like, well, I hate to ask you this. Right. And I always say, well, ask me whatever you want. If I can answer it, I can.
Yeah.
If
right.
Yeah. You know, so I was like, it's no big deal. But to me, the more interesting things at the agency weren't necessarily the classified material. It's the inner workings, the interactions, like the human element of what it's like to be in that world. And so that's why I try to bring into that book. And the character, you know, Garrett is DEA. He's working with the CIA. What I found to be interesting about that dynamic, that's a very true dynamic of how when he first gets into them, you know, working with the CIA, he's like, how did I get into this thing? I don't want to be in it. I don't understand them. And they do things that I don't know. And that was the dynamic that I learned in working with law enforcement or FBI or whatever. They're always kind of like, it kind of looked at you a little askance and, you know, like, or so you see what I'm saying? Like, I don't bring, you know, there wasn't like I was a particular instance where I was like, let me put that in the book. But there was this feel and there was this dynamic that I saw, like how law enforcement didn't understand us and we didn't understand law enforcement. When I say don't understand, it's not that we don't physically understand. It's just that they've got their mission and we've got our mission, you know? And you see it in the book. That plays out very well in the book. Yeah. Or I say that. I hope it plays out well, but. But I've had other people say like, yep, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I really wanted to bring for the reader. Yeah. This is what it's like when you're there, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I always, you know, we have lots of events and all sorts of QA. And, one of the things people bring up a lot is like getting little details right. And yes, it's very important. You know, but one of the things I tell people a lot, and it sounds like something you're echoing, is that what makes for a good story is not necessarily, you know, getting every detail right or getting, you know, loads of research, but we read because we see really interesting characters in very challenging situations. And we want to know how that ends. Right? That to me is kind of the essence of storytelling. And so, you know, the idea of being like, the spin is it's more character driven instead of, you know, sometimes in, you know, thrillers or spy books or whatever it might be, characters don't necessarily have a huge shift. You know what I mean? Like they're the same from one book to the next. Like Jack Ryan's never changed. He's the same person in book one as he is in book 10,000. Yeah. You know what I mean? And sometimes readers want that.
Yeah.
But I like that a lot. So let's talk about the book a little bit. So you're on the precipice of, you know, publishing. We're recording this about a month and change from publication date, which congrats ahead of time. This episode will actually air right around when it gets published. So people will be able to go pick up the book as, you know, pretty soon after. What is it, you know, kind of let's start with the backstory. How long have you been writing the book? What was the process like? Like, let's just kind of get the background on the book.
This has been a long process. The story is pretty interesting though, in that this wasn't the initial book that I got my agent with. I've realized I'm talking to writers here, and if there's aspiring writers, I want to tell you how miserable this process is. And everybody says that, and they say that because it's true.
Right.
I wrote my first book, and I did the query process that everybody does looking for agents, sent the first book out, or you know, the first query out, with maybe a sample or something. I can't remember, but, I was pretty lucky. I had three requests for full manuscript, and my understanding is that's pretty rare. So I was just lucky to like have someone write back. I'm sure my background at the agency helped. And but so the first one that I got back was actually from my agent that I have now, and it was a rejection. And he read the book. He said he liked the writing, liked the story, but he listed about 15 things that were wrong with it. And so when I read those 15 things, I was like, yep. So I people say like, whoa, you know, this one guy said this. I was like, no, he didn't just say it. He was right. You know, mm-hmm. I saw that in his mm-hmm. critique, and it made me respect him. So I actually, this is, people don't believe I did this, but I went and pulled the other two manuscripts from the other agents. And then everybody always says, why did you do that? They might've, you know, picked you up, and they were big name agents, you know? And, I was like, cause this other guy was right. That mm-hmm. was, that story wasn't ready. And so I went back over the course of months, maybe 9 months, I can't even remember, rewrote the entire book, and resubmitted. And I was told later by another writer, she's like, that's the cardinal sin. Unless they tell you to send it back, you know, don't ever do that. I was like, well, I mean, if that's the worst thing that happens to this guy today is that somebody does everything he says and sends it right. back to him, then fine. You know? So I ended up sending it back. And so it was my agent's John Talbot. So he did, he said, okay, you this looks good. You did the right things. Well, that was over. And so I ended up getting him at Thriller Fest. That was, 2 years ago, I guess, or three summers ago, I guess you would say. So I said, I learned so much at Thriller Fest. I want to like rewrite the thing that you accepted because I can make it better. So I rewrote it over the course of a few months, only to have my agent say, you know what? Let's not do this book at all. Let's try something entirely.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So that's what every writer wants to hear, right?
Yeah. Right.
I said, okay. I think I cried a little bit, and he gave me a chance to like pull myself up off the floor and clean myself up and continue the conversation. But he said that secondary guy you got, Garrett Cole, he goes, there's something to that guy. What do you think about bringing him back to Texas and trying something? And so I said, okay, I'll try it. I guess I'll try it. I said, my background's intel. I was writing more of a traditional, kind of like what you think of a Vince Flint, you know, that kind of a thing.
Yep.
Let me try. And so I woke up, I think at 3 o'clock the next morning. I couldn't sleep because of, you know, the bad news. But I got up and I started writing, and I literally never been more free in my life. Nothing had ever flown as well as it had that moment. And that was the right story. That was the right protagonist. Those were the right characters that came together. So my agent was right. I sent him, I think I worked up some things. I can't remember. It's hard to remember, you know, but worked up some stuff, sent it to him. He's like, rock on. This is good. So over the course, I think, so we went to Thriller Fest that next summer, and it was almost ready. And he ended up pitching. He wasn't planning on pitching it, but it just so happened that it came up, and he pitched it to my editor that I have now. And he loved the idea. And then we ultimately sent him the book, you know, when it was ready. I mean, it took several iterations. I mean, that might have been over a course of a year to get that into him. Yeah, it was almost a year by the time we submitted it. And then it was, you know, William Morrow, HarperCollins ultimately bought it. But I tell you that long sort of drawn out story because if you're a writer out there and you're wondering like, how hard is this process? Well, it's very hard. I mean, it's hard. And I'm not the only one. I won't tell anybody else's stories, but I know this is a lot for a lot of the guys you see out there that are writing kind of what I'm doing. A lot of those guys wrote several books first, and either agent or editor was like, nope. And until you get it right. And so, I would just say, if you get that advice out there, that counsel from someone who you trust, then take it, because it's not that they're always right, but these guys that have been in the business a while, they're there for a reason, you know, and they've risen to where they are for a reason.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad I did that. I know that was kind of a long way of
answering the question. I love it. Okay. It's absolutely perfect because, there's a reality to being a storyteller. And I guess there's a reality if you want to be a traditionally published, right? If you wanted to self-pub, you could have cut that down pretty quickly. And there's not a right or wrong way to go. I mean, like, for some people, self-pub is great. Other people, they want to do traditional pub. You know, we don't, I think it's so individual. There's no way to be like, you should do this or should do that. It just, mm-hmm. it's almost like book by book, project by project, you can make that decision. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you, like, kind of in hearing your story, firstly, boy, you talk about the absolute example of kill your darlings. That came through pretty, I mean, that old writing tropes, you know, you hit that nail on the head.
Yeah.
But what do you think you had to believe about yourself or about the process or about your future that allowed you to make those big changes and to make those big edits and to be so decisive with your actions?
Desperation. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's you want to get published, you know, you put yourself this far into it and you're like, I don't know. It's just, and maybe it's the nature of people that do the kind of work that I do, or, you know, like you asked beforehand, is this something that is ingrained to you? And, mm-hmm. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I've always had the mentality, like, I might die in this process, but I won't quit. Mm. And so for me, I was just, quitting was never an option. And so if this is what it takes to win or to do the job right, then I was going to do it. And every time I write a book, I literally just turned in book two in the Garrett Cole series yesterday.
Oh, congrats.
So if you discombobulated, I am. It's because I literally, and every time I write a book, you know, I've written several now, this will be the first to be published, but I always wreck my health in the process. I'm always a complete disaster. My wife always says I look like Einstein or like, you know, somebody, because my hair is all crazy. My eyes are bloodshot. Right. I'm like in my bathrobe at like 4 p.m. I mean, I just throw myself into these things and I'm just like, it's going to be done. It's going to be good. And I'll die in the process to make that happen.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I think I've talked a lot about, I always call it just pig-headed determinism. Just being like, I get that the odds are long of me getting this book published or being well, like the odds are long, like just period. The total number of books written, if you were to take it as pure logic, it would be the most illogical thing to do, you know, to write a book. And yet there's this willful like disregard of that reality in this adoption of just pig-headed determinism to just get it done. And it sounds like that is the thing that carried you, and it's carried so many of the other guests too. I mean, it's really, it sucks because there's no magic, you know, there is no silver bullet. And yet, it's under your control. And yet you are in control of what you need. So
it's a matter of like pure will. It's pure will, you know? And, because there's so many times when you're just so exhausted and so beat and so mentally drained, and it takes its toll, you know, I'll tell you, like, I mean, this is kind of sad, but I remember when I got my book deal, you know, and it came through and I'm telling my family, and I remember like literally jumping in the living room. And I look at my son and he's got tears in his eyes. I'm like, what's wrong? You know, he goes, now we're never going to see you.
Oh,
and, I know. Right. And, I know it was awful. And even just the other day, he said that to me, he had tears in his eyes again. He's like, I'll never see you, you know, 'cause I'm finishing the book. And, and it's not true. I'm home. I mean, you know, I'm around, but you know, I had to miss our summer vacation. And so they went to Florida without me. And so I guess what I'm saying is, if you really want to do this, you really want to be with a big publisher, you really want to live the dream. It's not without its consequences. Yeah. It's like any other, endeavor that takes every bit of you. It's hard. And, and it only gets harder. You know, I just finished that book yesterday, and now I'm, you think, oh, well, take some time off and enjoy it. And I was like, I got a whole pile of other things sitting here that I haven't done that's on the publicity and marketing.
Right.
And, there's film stuff going on now and there's all kinds of like crazy stuff. And so it's just, you only got one thing to jump in another. And I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm very happy about all that, but I'm just like, realistically, that's the lot. It's, 24 right. hours, 7 days a week. And sometimes, you know, getting up at 3 a.m.
Yeah. 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 And you have to talk to me. Let me ask you,
no, I'm happy to. This is fun. Yeah, this is. I enjoy talking writing. I'll talk writing all day long. It's getting back there and like digging out of like, you know, some sort of form or whatever.
One of the things a lot of people say is, you know, coming onto this show, they're always like, this feels so relaxing and fun because it's just about writing. It's about I'm not having to perform. Like sometimes, you know, author events, it's a performance, right? So anyways, okay. So let me ask you one more question. Then we're going to transition to our final five, just kind of checked up the time, but I have time for one more, which is, okay. So you're standing here on the precipice. You're a month away from publication. Book two is done. It's kind of, you know, in the works. And if you look back on the entire journey that you've had of writing a book and then rewriting the book and then starting a new project and all the things, if you look back and you think, boy, I wish I knew this one, maybe two things when I started this journey, what would that be?
That's a good question. Because people always ask me now, they're like, knowing what it took to get this done, they're like, would you do it again? I'm always like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, just have, seek good counsel, you know, like, I would say I've had good people around me and good mentors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm like, lost my train of thought. What was your question?
The question was, if you look back, what is one thing you wish you knew? If you could go back and tell yourself one thing, what would you tell yourself?
Okay, so yeah, I think if I could go back and talk to myself again and say, you know, just all the heartache and the pain and just the early mornings, late nights, all these things, it's going to be worth it someday. You're going to like, just keep on going. And I never was, you know, again, people ask me, would I ever look back or do something different or not do it if I knew how hard it'd be? And there's never a part of me that says, no, I wouldn't do it. But just knowing like it's all going to pay off someday, it's all going to be worth it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing.
Love it. All right. So Taylor, here we are at the point of our show where I get to ask you the final five questions. So these final five questions I ask to every single guest. I do it because it's really fun and I like to do it, but also because I really like showing diversity in the answers. I like showing that everybody has a different way of writing, a different way of doing things. And as a writer, as a storyteller out there, like no matter where you're at in your journey, if you've not even written your first word, or if you've been writing for 15, 20 years and you're still frustrated, finding your way to create is one of the most important parts of this whole life, this whole process. And I think these questions answer that. I hope they do. So here we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you those questions. Question number one, what is the one word that best describes you?
Man, I'm glad you didn't ask my wife. You asked me because she probably had a different word. But I'd say adaptable, and I'd say that because of the reason I mentioned earlier. You know, having been given the advice of my agent to stretch the book that I had and start with something entirely new. Had I sort of put my heels in the sand and said like, no, I'm not going to do that. I've done all this. Then I don't think I would have I don't think I'd be where I am right now. I might have some level of success, but not to, you know, what this book has done or, you know, that seems to be building to a certain place. And so I think you have to be adaptable and I don't mean that just sort of blindly adaptable. You have to have good counsel and have people around you that you trust that they have good ideas. Cause I've heard some really bad ideas before too. And I wouldn't advise taking those, but being adaptable and deciding, you know, if this is what I really want, what does it mean? What does it mean me giving up? What does it mean me adding or taking away from my life? You know, what does it take to get there? And, but just being open-minded, particularly when it comes to really good, wise counsel from people I could trust.
Love it. Okay. Question number two, if you had to pick a spirit book, so this is a book that if you died and you were able to be reincarnated as a book, it'd be like the book you'd pick to come back to life on earth as, what book would it be?
People are probably going to get tired of hearing me talk about Lonesome Dove, but, Lonesome Dove is my all time favorite book. It's, Larry McMurtry was a huge influence on my writing. I wanted, to write something, you know, obviously it's a modern Western what I'm writing, but I wanted to bring in those sort of characters. And I think the reason to be a sort of my spirit book, I mean, first of all, like, who doesn't want to be a cowboy, right? I mean,
right,
so
right,
I mean, so
right.
That's pretty cool. But it was those people that were in the book. I wanted Augustus McCrae to be my friend. I want to be friends with all those guys, you know. And so not only the sort of adventure and all that comes along with Lonesome Dove, but out riding the open range and, you know, all of that camaraderie, that friendship. That's what I really like and enjoy, and that's why it was an inspiration for me. And that's why I guess Downrange is a character driven thriller, because I wanted to have people that you wanted to hang out with. I wanted mm-hmm. those people that you wanted to be part of their lives. And a big influence on me, you know, as I mentioned, you know, my critique group and mentors are two New York Times bestselling romance writers. And so the thing I noticed about when they write these books are that they created people and places that you wanted to meet and wanted to go. You wanted to go live in that town because it sounds interesting and everybody's fun. And, you know, it's just really cool. And that's what I wanted to do. And I think Lonesome Dove really,
awesome.
That's just the world I would like to live in, even though it's violent and dangerous.
I don't know.
Maybe we should have my head checked. But
I feel like I just heard somebody else recommend that book to me. And I'm trying to think of who it was. But I can't.
That
okay.
book, yeah, I highly recommend it if you haven't. I mean, of course, it's a Pulitzer Prize winner. And,
right.
And, you know, I said I was in Texas Libraries Association panel not long ago. And I said, you know, it's funny, I'll recommend that book. And people say, well, I don't like Westerns. And I'm like, man, it's so much more than a Western.
Right.
So I highly recommend it for anyone.
I might have been going through, just the other day, I went through a list of like Nobel Prize winners in literature, Pulitzer Prize winners in literature, National Book Award winners, because I was just curious. I was like, what's even on these lists as you get past, like, I've read a good chunk of them in like modern times, but like when you get past, you know, 20, 25 years, I'm like, how many of these have I read? Like the kind of our you know, ancestors, forebears, you know? And maybe I saw it, I don't know, maybe I saw it there. Cause it won, it's an older book, right? If I remember, like not old, but like it's older than 20 years.
Yeah, I would say it came out in the, had to have been the 80s at least, because I think that's when the miniseries came out.
Okay, maybe that's where I saw it.
Yeah, so it might have been 1980 or something like that.
Okay, before my time on this planet. All right, all right.
Highly recommend.
Okay, highly recommend it. Wonderful. Okay, so question number three, is there a specific tool, can be anything at all, pencil, software, chair, coffee, tea, whatever, that you absolutely must have to write?
You know, I nothing like that really jumps out at me. The only thing I would say that every writer needs is their happy place. And for me, you know, I mentioned there's a place called The Palace, this coffee house that I write at here in Amarillo. And I go there not every day, but probably almost every day, particularly when I'm writing. And there's even like a particular spot. There's a table, and I'm always so mad when somebody's in that spot, you know. And I'm like Norm from Cheers, you know. I've got my little, you know, place I need to be.
Yep.
That's my happy place. And I would say for writers, you know, if you just find a good place, and it may just be your office, that's fine. But if it's not, you know, find a place that inspires you and a place that you're happy being when you write.
Yeah.
So that I'd recommend that.
Love it. Okay. Okay. Question number four. How do you deal with the constant ups and downs of the writing life?
I guess I'll let you know when I get there. Everything's a different challenge every time you get to it. There was a good piece of advice that another writer friend of mine, she very successful writer named Bethany Clare, and she does Scottish time travel romance. And it's not one of the other romance writers I was telling you about. I know more romance writers than anyone, but I remember before I really got into the business of doing this, and I was asking her, I said, well, aren't you kind of nervous about the next book, or, you know, like, didn't you get, she's like, I probably should be, but I always just sort of figure it out when I get there. And so it wasn't really like advice. She was just saying this off the cuff, but I took it as advice. I think about it all the time. Cause there's always that part of me that goes, well, what now what do I do? Or, you know, where am I going to go with this book? Or what about the third book? And I always just think, I'll worry about it when I get there.
I like that.
You know, and so, so things always seem to work out, and I'll figure it out. I'll figure a solution when I get there. And so
I love it.
So I think that's pretty good. Just don't worry too much. Just figure it out.
Yeah. Get there. All right. Last question for you. If you could give one piece of advice to new writers out there, what would it be?
There's a lot of advice, but if I had to just pick one thing, I would say start and finish a book, writing it. And that sounds probably like very obvious, but particularly if you think you might want to do this for a living, or you might want to, you know, be a professional writer, start and finish a book. And I didn't realize what a big deal that was until I finished it was really my second book, but you know, it was like 20 years apart or 15 years apart. But people said, oh, you finished one? I said, yeah. And several people said, that's actually a big deal. Many writers start a book and never finish it. And I understand why. That's the miserable part. Like, I have so much fun, you know, 3/4, I'm just making all these problems and all these dilemmas. Then you get the 3/4 in, you're like, how do I wrap this up? You know, but that's where the rubber meets the road as an author. If you really, because not that you just got to wrap it up and say like, oh, it was all a dream or whatever. I mean, it's got to wrap up in a meaningful way that is believable, that is satisfying. And if you're writing a series like I am, that leaves it open for book 3, book 4, book 5. So that's hard to do. So I would say really for anyone, but particularly if you want to be a professional writer. Now I'll say this, if writing is just your fun thing to do and this is your hobby, write a million books and never finish them. If that's just what you want to do, and just like you want to start a new story and this is your like release and this is fun, then do it. But if you really want to be a professional writer, make sure you start a book and you finish it, because that's actually a really big deal.
Yeah, I love that. So Taylor, where can people find you out on the interwebs?
Okay, so I'm at rtaylormoore.com.
Okay.
And the book comes out August 3rd. So if people want to pre-order, and I encourage that, obviously that helps. You can go anywhere. You can buy books. It's, you know, anywhere online that sells books. It's there. And then if you have an independent bookstore, local bookstore, whatever, they can order it for you. So get it.
Awesome.
Pre-order.
Awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you so much. It has been so fun to kind of hear your backstory and hear your, you know, your journey to getting to talking to me. Here we are. And I really deeply appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Brian, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks. If you haven't yet, please go check us out on iTunes. You can leave us a rating and review. Also, check me out on Instagram, where I am posting some motivational writing quotes as well as pictures from my journey across this great country. Lastly, I want to say thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful week of writing.